It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Here he is.
Let's welcome tonight's guest. As a lawyer and cheerleader, she was known for her motions. Outnumbered co-host Emily Cabano. The opinions he writes keeps liberals up at night. Fox News contributor and Washington Times opinion editor, Charlie Hearst. And she'll steal your heart while going through your wallet. Fox News contributor, Kat Tim. And finally, Santa sits on his lap for Christmas. My massive sidekick in the NWA World Title Heavyweight Champion, Tyrus.
Is that you?
No, that is.
I feel like that was you.
No.
I didn't write any of that. No, I'm kidding. Emily, great to see you again.
Great to be here.
I know, it really is. It must be great for you to be on this show. what do you make about this kind of, I hate to use the word melting down, but it's more like, you know, this kind of irrational concern that's coming from the media and the government.
You know, I think it would be amusing, it would be laughable if it didn't actually have real world consequences on so many people. You know, this is the same group of people. So we have the White House press secretary saying that they are monitoring the platform for hate. That's the most important thing on the president's agenda. Meanwhile, the Ayatollah has been texting or tweeting freely on it the whole time. Mm-hmm. These are the same lawmakers, number one among them, Kamala Harris, who are in bed with the social media platforms. It's the reason why none of them are liable for anything that happens on it. So when people have enjoyed live stream of rapes and people, you know, garnering support for really terrible, horrible, violent crimes, no one at the top is ever held accountable because of these people in charge in this administration, right? It's just the users. But they flip that point of view when all of a sudden Elon Musk is the reason that the world is falling apart. And this is the same president who, I guess, again, this is his priority, but he decides to take air marshals off planes, put them at the southern border, right? Our dollar's going up. There are so many things in this world that are consuming Americans that are true stressors. And yet this is what is consuming our administration. This is what our tax dollars are funding, is their hair catching on fire.
Yeah, I wouldn't knock the Ayatollah's tweets. They are pretty good. did you see his top 10 list of Christmas movies?
Oh, God. Oh. Is Hunter Biden's Christmas on them?
Scrooge was number one, which I was totally surprised. He didn't even have a Christmas story on there. Ayatollah, get with the program. Charlie, pleasure seeing you as well. What do you make of the fact that they're so scared? I really do believe this has to do with hate speech now being broadened to include anything disagreeable.
Right. Oh, I think you're exactly right. What's so amazing about it is to listen to people in the press.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are the most upset about it. And it's, you know, if you step back and you take something like Twitter, which is kind of the most amazing democratizing tool in the world for free speech. And only these people could take it and twist it around and turn it into a weapon in order to silence the people that not only silence their enemies, but what you're pointing out, which I think is exactly what they're doing. They're actually making their opponents and what their opponents support like illegal and illicit and verboten. And
that's, you know, German, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Just want to check.
But it really is amazing to, you know, we hear these people, they talk so much about threats to democracy. And they ran the whole last election about threats to democracy. And the single greatest threat to democracy is these people colluding between, the collusion between the media and people like Joe Biden and Democrats in order to silence the electorate. Because without an informed electorate, you don't have a republic.
Yeah, it's funny because these are the people talking about misinformation and disinformation.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a little rich, Kat, don't you think?
Yep.
Trying to think of like an analogy, like Twitter being taken over by Elon Musk, something that would upset the Republicans would be like the NRA choosing a new president and it's, I don't know, Alyssa Milano or something like that.
Or just Twitter before Elon Musk.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Because all of the things that conservatives were complaining about, and people were saying, oh, that's crazy, you're not being shadow banned, or oh, there's no politically motivated algorithms. Keep in mind, the only thing that people on the left are upset about is that conservatives were right the whole time.
Yes. Yeah.
But were expected to just not care.
Yeah.
And they're really trying to, they're trying and failing to sort of make it seem like Elon is hypocritical. I've seen a lot of people, okay, well, you know, if he's that libertarian, if he believes in free speech, well, you know, you can't do anything about what Apple wants to do. It's like, yeah, he said he didn't like it. He didn't say that there should be a law to stop Apple from doing this. All that the libertarian or the free speech point of view says is you can just say what you want, you can do what you want, and I'm not going to interfere with that, or I don't think the government should interfere with that. And just because it's not a First Amendment violation doesn't mean that it doesn't go against the cultural value of free speech, which also has value, whether First Amendment applies to it or not.
Hmm. Look at that. Oh, the scholarship. What?
What?
What? I don't know.
What are you
looking
what?
At me? I'm looking at you.
I have to look at you. You're the host.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. You know what?
I know it's hard to look away.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I just look above. listen, this is any time you've seen in court where a victim of a horrible crime, the other attorney's job is to make them look like something's wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a rape victim, they bring up her sexual past to try to, like, diminish her. They have used Twitter as their frontline defense and filter. They've used it to go after enemies. They've used it to protect themselves. They use it to protect their guy. The Hunter Biden story would have certainly cost him the election. Mm-hmm. So they squashed it. And they squashed story after story. And then anybody they wanted to choose to go after to end them, it wasn't through courts. It wasn't through the police. It was through Twitter. They canceled. Mm-hmm. They became woke. Elon, by opening up, is now showing the crimes they committed, the things that they did wrong. So what do you do? Do you own it? No. You have to make Elon a criminal.
Yeah.
So they now use words that mean nothing. He's attacking free speech. How is he doing that? He didn't say, this is the new right tweet, and replace the bird with an elephant.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He just said, we can all talk.
Yeah.
Because, which means things are going to come out.
Right.
And he's messing with them. I'm going to put the information, because there's going to be conversations, just like there was those text messages about President Trump going, we cannot let this happen.
Right.
We have the FBI agents were texting back and forth and how they were going to go to get rid of him. Those things were happening in Twitter. And they didn't, unlike the FBI, who the ones it had to be secretive, they were just talking about it and they were doing it. So they have to create him. They have to make him a criminal. They have to spin it. And they're going to pull in all their allies. That's why the White House is watching. And suddenly Apple all of a sudden cares about free speech and platforms.
Right.
Meanwhile, in China, mm-hmm. where their phones are made, it's horrible over there. They got nothing to say.
Yeah.
Because they have to make Elon a criminal.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
He snapped, then he slapped. Now his career's turned to crap. But can his reputation be repaired? Wonders the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Former actor Will Smith went on a local news program to promote a film, but he also addressed the infamous Oscar slap for the first time on late night TV. You'll recall the drama. It happened just 8 months ago, but feels like an eternity. Also an eternity, sitting through a movie starring his son, Jaden. It was so long ago, Colbert was still relevant.
Oof.
Chris Rock made fun of Jada Pinkett Smith's bald head. Will got up and slapped him silly. We at Gutfeld will never resort to cheap laughs about baldness.
Never over.
Man, is he fat.
Never.
See what I did?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing about his bald head.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I wonder if it was a rage that had been bottled for a really long time.
That was a rage that had been bottled for a really long time.
And it was a horrific night, as you can imagine.
That was a horrific night, as you can imagine. You know, there's many nuances and complexities to it, you know. But at the end of the day, I lost it.
Nuances and complexities. You mean your wife is bald and Chris Rock joked about it. That's about as complex as you get. But he was going through something that night, you know?
I was going through something that night, you know? And not that that, you know, justifies my behavior at all. It was a lot of things. That's not who I want to be.
There you go. So is it time to forgive and forget? He's obviously paid a price for his actions professionally and personally. And it's like my dad once said, Greg, when you forgive, you don't change the past, but you sure do change the future.
Oh.
I know. So I decided to forgive my dad. All right, Tyrus. Does he deserve? What do you think of his answers? And does he deserve?
First of all, he can miss me with that. Like that was just, man, bruh. Come on, man. Like, damn it, brother. I'm trying to support you here, but like all this interview, this interview should have been 8 seconds long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chris, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What I did was wrong. Period. He went. Which. Or, I'm not sorry.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, because that's the apology that I get from my 8-year-old.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, you cussed at your brother. You're going, well, you have to understand that I said it as a joke. I didn't mean it. I accidentally said it. And, Dad, you understand, I had a lot of things that day. The recess was short. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't get the straw on my Capri Sun. Like, I was going through some stuff. And then Siosi just looked at me sideways, and I was like, man, it was me. You know what I'm saying? And that's, the Fresh Prince 2 decades ago.
Yeah.
It's time to be a king, grow up, and apologize for what you did. There's no excuse for it, and move on. Because now we're talking about it because of that whack-ass apology. You better than that, Will.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those weird moments, Emily, where one act you do causes everything to come crashing down. Do you ever think about that when you're on outnumbered? Go like,
oh my God.
Could I? No, do you ever think about this? No, I do this on the 5. I'll be sitting, because you can only do it on live TV. And do you ever think about what's the one thing I could do?
Swear.
Yes, but you know what I mean. What's the one thing you could do that could destroy your entire career? Do you ever think about that? Go ahead, do it.
I don't know. No.
Do you ever slap somebody? Like
no,
that?
No.
All right, cool.
You anyway. Think about it, but you don't do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I would like to. Yeah.
Even when you can reach them.
That's why I'm over here.
Here's the thing about it. I agree with you. It's like the saying that maybe your dad said also, which is that it matters, more the aftermath. So if he had come out to your point and said unequivocally, I apologize, there's no excuse, I'm so sorry, I'd be honored to keep working, I'd be honored to have you watch my films, right? Instead, he comes out, he makes it all about him. He, in that apology too, reminded me of the actor or the character he played in the movie about the computer and he was homeless.
Right.
He was literally that character. And so whenever actors apologize, you always think in your head, like, do you memorize these lines? And you're just saying it. Mm. But here's the thing.
Do you make that face too, like this?
I don't know. The point is that I'm not about cancel culture or whatever, but the whole point is everyone's decisions reflect where their support is. So Comedy Central putting him on for a really long interview, that movie bringing him in and it's emancipation and it's a, you know, serious topic and all of this stuff, that's making a decision and sending a message. Yes, we want to keep working with him. We want to keep giving him a voice. We want to keep giving him a platform. So then the next question is just whether viewers actually want to pay money to watch that film and continue supporting him, or if they think that he's, dumb.
I would have thought, Kat, that he would have been more prepared. He had 8 months to answer. It seemed like he was shocked that it was asked.
That was asked, though.
Like, oh, geez, really, Trevor? Trevor?
Yeah.
Well, so Trevor. That's so Trevor of you.
I used to love that name, Trevor.
Well, first of all, I would just like to acknowledge that I have no idea what it would be like to sit there and listen to some guy make fun of your spouse in front of an audience on television. Oh, wait. Yeah, I do.
Yes.
I don't call it like a rage-filled moment, though, so much as I just call it like a Tuesday. Like that one Tuesday right after I got married and you opened the show accusing my new husband of being the Unabomber.
Yes.
Which is,
we still haven't like, solved. I still, there's some questions. Which is, I'm just asking some questions, like, Kat. Have you ever looked at your husband closely?
Like, which is arguably more offensive than pointing out that someone's bald. But I just did it. Like, I didn't get mad. Yeah. I don't understand. He says like, oh, and I just filled with rage. Is it that something that you're supposed to be able to understand?
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Here's the solution, Charlie, I have is his next movie has to be playing himself and call it Oscar Night. And you have it written by what's that dude? You have it directed by Spike Jonze, right? Spike Jonze. You do like one of those really kind of like, Charlie Kaufman writes it, and it ends with him having to make a movie about the Oscars. So it's this eternal recursive moment in his life that he will have to relive forever and ever.
Torture.
I still don't think it'll be as good as Hunter Biden's Christmas.
which,
by the way, I think that just to test Twitter's free speech now,
yeah.
I think you should premiere Hunter Biden's Christmas on Twitter.
Yeah, we were going to do it on Fox Nation, but.
Hallmark passed.
Hallmark passed.
It's Christmas month. They don't run nothing but yeah. Christmas. So.
I could, and also, you know, Dean Cain wouldn't go totally nude. Nope. Not so Superman. Thanks to Emily Campagno, Charlie Hurt, Kat, Tim Tyrus, our studio audience, Fox News, and I have a dreamy Trace Gallagher is next.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcasts Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
I'm Emily Campagno, host of the Fox True Crime Podcast. January 26th, 1988 was a cold and suspiciously quiet night at the Indianapolis Police Department, but the frigid night took a chilling turn with news of a triple homicide. This week, I'm joined by retired Sergeant Judd Green for a look back at this savage case. Available now on Apple, Spotify, and FoxNewsPodcast.com.